Guys, gals, and non-binary pals, welcome to the podcast that the Academy of Motion Pictures does not want you to hear. It's Monkeys and Playbills, y'all.
That's Paul DeGerse.
That's Jillian Willems. We've got a small live audience. We're going to make some noise right now.
Woo!
And it is our pleasure to be back.
Pleasure? Displeasure?
Mostly pleasure.
Yeah.
Mostly pleasure. To be back with the show about Broadway musicals that ran for 100 performances or fewer.
And what the heck happened?
Tonight, we will not be talking about a musical that ran for 100 performances or fewer.
No.
In fact, tonight we're going to talk about one of the most successful movies of all, one of the most successful musicals
mm-hmm.
of all time.
Yes.
Of all time.
Well, yes. Sorry, I'm just,
yeah.
I'm trying not to like throw too much of how I feel into your intro, but I'm already having feelings. Carry on.
Well, it's wacky. You all know by now, we're talking about Cats, but we're not just talking about Cats, the musical from the early 1980s. We're talking about the movie that was made out of it and released in late 2019, early 2020.
Woof. I mean, meow.
And we're going to explore today, with the help of all y'all, with the help of Alistair at the bar, please go get a drink,
yes.
with the help of producer Daff on the board,
woo.
And with the help of all you at home, with the help especially of Oak on the lights,
yay.
We're going to explore why one of the most successful musicals of all time became one of the most hated
mm-hmm.
musical movies of all time.
Before we can explore its evolution from musical to movie, I think we do need to talk a little bit about the history of the show. Because,
yeah.
like you're saying, it didn't start as a sort of questionable box office offering.
No.
It started as, I think it ran, what did it run, for 21 years
it
or something?
It held the record on West End and Broadway for a long, long time.
Yeah. Like, this is a very yeah. popular show. I don't know why, but it is a very popular show.
So, really quick, we've got Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Mm-hmm.
This is in the late 70s.
That's right, 77.
You know, he's written a couple musicals at this point. He's been quite a big success. He's like the hot young composer at this point in his life, which is hard to
both
believe,
hot
right?
Hot and young.
But he...
But no, you're right. Yes, at
like
that
everyone
time.
Is like, what on earth is Andrew Lloyd Webber going to do next?
Yeah.
And he starts setting the poetry, setting
yes.
T.S. Eliot's poetry from T.S. Eliot's book, The Book of Practical Cats.
That's right.
Which is a book of just poetry about cats. It doesn't have
yeah.
any plot. It doesn't have anything. It's just, here's a fun poem about this cat. Here's a fun poem about this cat. Isn't this cat funny? They do a thing.
Oh, sorry. I thought for a second you were describing the show and the movie.
which I also am. So Andrew
yes,
Lloyd Webber
I know.
Decides
okay.
to go and says, I wonder if I can set text that's already been written to
mm-hmm.
music. Like T.S. Eliot's not going to modify the text for me, so I wonder if I can set it to music.
Yes.
He goes about doing this, writes some songs that he likes, and is like, that's Let's put it on stage.
But more than that, he goes, let's call Cameron McIntosh, producer extraordinaire,
yeah.
to come in because I think this is going to be it. This is going to be the thing that changes lives. Cats. Actually, Practical Cats.
It was called Practical Cats for a long time.
For a long time.
Until apparently they did the poster design, the famous
yes.
Cats poster design with just the cat eyes. And they looked at that. With the title Practical Cats. And they were like, well, that's not going to work.
They're like, something's weird there.
Lose the practical. It's cleaner.
It's just cats. Oh, my gosh. So so we have Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yep.
Cameron McIntosh is involved now.
Yep.
And then we have Gillian Lynn, who's a
yep.
choreographer.
Totally.
So that's like their little team.
Yep.
They had trouble raising money.
Yep.
For this. I think it was like 1.6 million in today's dollars, so I don't know what that would have been at the time. Probably $7 or $8.
But not only were they putting up the show, they were renovating the theater in London
That's
where it was
right.
going to sit down.
Yes.
Because Cats, in its original home in London, England, on the West End, was kind of this semi-immersive thing.
Yes.
Where it was kind of like half in the round and the cats are right up on you.
Mm-hmm.
So they spent a ton of money renovating this theater.
I'm just picturing like being in the audience and just hating every minute of that involvement. Like, I don't want you on me. I'm here to watch
some Sheridan Grad
you.
And a leotard just crawling all over me.
Go away. But yes, you're right. The theater, I think, was specifically renovated to host this new cool show.
So there's a lot of money in this, and a lot of money riding on it. To make a long story short, because that's not the show we're talking about, it's a smash hit. It does super duper well. It runs in England for like 25 years or something like that. Transfers to Broadway. In England, people are like, oh yeah, this makes sense. For a lot of people, I think T.S. Eliot's Book of Practical Cats is a childhood favorite.
Oh, sure. Okay,
it goes
maybe
to America. Americans are like, what? No. Yeah. No, no, no. But all the tourists coming to New York are like, hey, a show where you don't really need to speak English.
Okay.
A show without a plot that's just dancing and visual spectacle. Cats is the one I'm going to see when I'm in New York.
I hadn't even thought of that being a draw, but you're absolutely
apparently
right.
Apparently, this is the reason the Cats just crushed in New York, even though the general audience doesn't really have a relationship with the Book of Practical Cats.
I think I would struggle personally because I love a story.
Yep.
So I would struggle, I think, initially with trying to receive something like that with no sort of perceived plot at all. Mm-hmm. But I suppose there's... who's the example we use? Debbie from Idaho? Who do we tell?
Yeah, Debbie from Idaho.
Debbie from Idaho is like, you know, I don't even have to think.
Right,
I don't even have to think about this. Mm-hmm. I can just watch it.
And the dancing's good and the singing's good. The costumes are good.
That's it.
There's
and
a
big
tire that raises up and flies the cats, flies Old Deuteronomy and Grisabella out at the end. This tire rises up. It's incredible. It's very, very popular. It becomes like... It becomes musical theater canon in the biggest way.
That's right.
It becomes a classic part of the canon. What's your relationship with Cats, Jill?
I have two.
Okay. That's a good joke.
Thank you. I remember
but
the
neither
poster.
Of them are, they're both named, sorry, they're both named after, no, only one of them is named after a musical theater character.
Yeah.
But neither of them are named after Cats characters.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I have two cats, and what I remember about Cats growing up was that the poster.
Yep.
So similar to the Les Mis poster, also produced by Cameron McIntosh, whoever does his posters wins. But it's like that lives on in my mind is like the visual of that. People wearing the sweaters all the time, but not actually watching it until the pandemic.
Yeah.
And by it, I mean the musical. I hadn't even seen the musical until then.
That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
You listened to it before. Like you knew the songs. You knew
no,
some of the songs?
Not really. Some.
You knew memory.
Sure, who doesn't?
Wow,
I knew the
wow.
opening, kinda. Roughly.
But it was never a part of your musical theater nerd childhood.
It was not.
Wow, wow, wow. Okay.
And I think it was because every time someone says something about Cats, it errs on the side of like negative. So I was like, well, why would I spend time investigating this musical? It's not Sweeney.
Yep.
Or whatever. That was my logic. So, yeah, that's my relationship. So I watched it during the pandemic for the first time. And then I watched this movie that we're going to talk about for the first time last week.
Great.
And now I need to know yours.
And now you need to know. Because mine is very different from yours. I really like Cats. I might even love Cats. And I've loved it since I started getting into musical theater.
Paul.
Okay, well, here, let me
know. I know,
let
I know.
Me,
okay,
let
go,
me,
go,
let me
go,
spin
go,
you a
go.
Yarn.
Yep, tell me.
I'm 13 years old, 13, 14 years old, and I've just started getting into musicals. My parents are taking me on a road trip or going to see family. So I get a bunch of CDs from the library, right? Because this is the year, CDs are the thing to do. And I'm like, let's get into musical theater. I got Cats, I've got Cabaret, and I've got Into the Woods. These are musicals I've heard of. Let's do it.
Sorry, did you say Cats, Cabaret,
Into the Woods.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you were playing best 2 out of 3. For
right? It's funny to look back on, but at the time, Into the Woods especially was too challenging for me.
Fair.
I was like, I don't get this. I don't know. It took me a few years to revisit it and be like, this might be the best musical ever written.
Yeah, because you're like, everybody's singing over each other. What's that about?
And likewise, Cabaret, I'm like, well, I mean, this is nice, but it kind of sounds old-fashioned.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Once again, took me a few years to come back to it and be like, this might be actually the best musical ever written. Look at this.
Yeah.
But Cats... is some of the first music I remember listening to and going like, oh, fuck, I get it.
Interesting.
Because like, it's...
Sonically, you mean.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I can kind of hear, I can start to hear what's happening, what Andrew Lloyd Webber is doing. This is because it's not super-duper complicated music.
Right.
It's, you know, it's fairly basic, especially compared to those other two shows, which have a lot more musical interest.
Yes.
But there was something about the fact that it took from, like, pop and jazz, mostly, that I really keyed into. And once again, the fact that I could actually kind of hear... these major chords moving, like the way they were moving, the harmony. I could understand things a little bit. And that took precedence over like a story.
Fair. And if you are listening to it first and foremost, then absolutely, that tracks. I need to just, like, who out of y'all have seen or heard Cats? Raise your hand. Okay, so just over half.
Is that who's seen Cats not counting the 2019 movie? Yeah.
Okay,
great. So we're going to have a lot of fun then.
And then just quickly, thumbs up or down your experience with it? Or firmly in the middle? Ooh, we have a thumbs up for music. Okay.
Some thumbs up, thumbs medium. You can be mean about Cats. No one minds here. Yeah. Oak is not on board.
So it seems like there's like a relationship to it, whether you want it or not.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's come at us a few times, I think.
Yeah.
In different generations.
Absolutely.
So this 2019 movie is the millennials' response to... No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. But this is like going to be now. It has entered the chat.
Yes, look. Absolutely.
And that's funny because chat, if you say it in French, is...
Oh, that's a long walk for that one.
That was a long walk. Anyway. Oh, there's one more thing about cats. In your life, you have a pet.
Oh, I have a dog named Gus the theater dog who's named after Gus the theater cat, which is a character in Cats.
Just very
You're
silly.
Absolutely right. Because we adopted Gus in early 2020.
Yes.
When the movie came out. I have another thing that I wanted to make sure to mention before we get into the meat of this podcast. For about 2 years, Cats was the last movie I had seen in the movie theaters. Yeah, right?
Did you say same?
Like, because I saw it like a week before everything shut down or something like that. Yeah. So, and just sitting there being like, was that the last movie I ever saw in a movie theater? Oh, jeez.
Like that, the frightening nature of that thought.
Yeah, well, this is it, right?
It's just, now I'm trying to remember the last thing I saw. I don't know. Whatever.
All right.
Okay, so we need to, let's do this fast because it's late and also I don't want to talk about this. So, I'm just kidding. So we know Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote the music. I believe all of the music was mostly as originally written, but there is maybe one additional song, and they kind of break up a few of the songs into bits.
There's one additional song that they've added so it could be an Oscar play. They break up a few songs, cut a couple songs, and they use an old version of Mungo Jerry and Rumble Teaser.
That's what that was.
Yeah, totally, because it's very different from most of the Mungo Jerry's and Rumple Teasers you would see on stage these days.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yep.
There's not really a script. Do we know who wrote the screenplay?
Tom Hooper, the director, collaborated with another with another author.
Great.
Tom Hooper is the main auteur of this. Like he's the one we should hold responsible.
Oh.
From what I understand.
So director slash
this director slash well, because what happens is it's 2016 when he wins the Oscar for King's Speech. I've got Oscars on the mind right now.
That was
the Oscars
way before, I think, like 2012 or
2014.
Yeah,
something like that. And everyone's like, Tom Hooper, you're the best. You're the man. What do you want to do?
He also directed the 2012 Les Mis, which is his main claim to fame in the movie musical oeuvre.
So this is what
and
I'm getting to.
And we all have feelings about that, too.
They say, Tom Hooper, you just won an Oscar. What do you want to do? He says, I hate musicals. I want to make a couple musicals. And he makes a, in my opinion, bad movie of Les Mis that a lot of people like.
Which we can talk about another time.
Oh, no!
Another time.
Are we going to do another one where we flip on Tom Hooper's Les Mis?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
Like a little bit?
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Well, okay. Absolutely.
I didn't expect that at all. That's very interesting. But so he makes a Les Mis that I don't like and Jill likes.
No, I only like the last scene, but that's okay.
That's more than I like.
And Daphne?
It has a very special place in my heart, specifically because I was in Les Mis in high school, and I graduated the June before it came out in theaters. So I was like, one day more.
Yeah.
Hear the people sing.
I do. Yeah.
And then he makes Cats, which is which somehow misses all the points of the musical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it feels like it was made by someone who fundamentally didn't get or didn't like Cats.
Yes. The animal.
Or the musical.
Okay, so we have Andrew Lloyd Webber, Tom Hooper.
T-Swift.
T-Swift.
Is another creative voice in this.
Co-wrote the song, right? The extra song.
I was going to do Welcome to the Podcast, The Eras Tour Doesn't Want You to Hear, or something like that. That was
it's okay. They don't need our shout out. Over there.
They're fine.
So T-Swift is a major player in this. She's going for an Oscar. So she co-writes the new song, and she's also in it, in a track for like a second.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
So in terms of dates,
yeah.
We have filming begins December 12th, 2018.
Great.
They wrapped on April 2nd, 2019, which actually seems kind of quick, but I don't know how long it takes to make a movie. I just figured, like, something of that scale. But maybe they had done a lot of, like, pre-rehearsals, and I think they mentioned something about Cat School.
I watched a few, like, behind-the-scenes things, mostly to see, like, what it looked like, to see, does this actually look like something?
Right.
We'll get into that in a second. But is a lot of video of them like in this big warehouse where I think they would also do most of the filming because they were fucking CGI and everything in, right?
So it's like theater school.
Yeah, except you don't ever put it on stage. You just practice it, then film it, then move on.
Wow, wild.
Yeah, right?
So the film premiered on December 16th, 2019 at Lincoln Center was like the first, the premiere. And then the theatrical release was a few days later, December 20th, 2019. They re-released like the edited / current version a couple days later because there were some.
What do you mean?
So apparently the CGI technology they were using was not done and they had missed some stuff.
I saw this version.
Like a hand, right?
Judi Dench's hands.
Judi Dench's hands were hands.
Yeah.
And then like there was something else. I can't remember what it was, but it was like throughout the film. So they had to like send out with like a little memo to all these theaters being like, hey, can you just stop showing that other one at your earliest convenience? Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what the memo actually said. Please at your earliest convenience, swap this out.
Yeah. Are you positive it wasn't the butthole cut?
Okay.
That doesn't actually exist. That's a joke.
So there is buttholes.
Well, cats have buttholes.
Well, sure, and they show them off, but we don't need to see the people versions of the. Anyway, it's a lot.
So it's out in late December 2019.
Yeah.
It should be noted as we're talking about this, we're gonna bag on this CGI a lot. This movie is a CGI monstrosity.
Mm-hmm.
It's not our intention to bag on any of the artists who actually did that work. It's pretty well documented at this point. The CGI wing of the movie industry is just a dismal place to work right now. It's a really tough place to work. The deadlines are next to impossible.
Yes.
From what I understand, these poor artists were finishing the piece hours before it premiered.
The magnitude of taking this on as well, like at that time, I don't, like it just seems, well, it seems unnecessary as a choice. So then I go, okay, then it falls to the director. Yeah. This is the director's fault.
And I think if there's anyone I'm going to direct my concerns to throughout this episode, it's going to be Tom Hooper.
Imagine
my surprise. All right.
So I think we should synopsize. You.
Oh, I can actually do this one.
Okay.
It's really
so
easy.
So it's very important that I specify that you need to do the synopsis for the movie, not the musical.
Okay, great.
Okay. They are different.
They're very different.
Do your best.
So we start with a blank screen. Then lights up, there's a car dropping off a cat, giving up on a cat, throwing the cat out the window.
It's like a pillowcase or something.
Yeah. And that's our main character, kind of audience avatar, named, which one is it?
Victoria,
Victoria the white cat.
Yes.
And she meets all these other cats out on the street, and they all they sing a song to her saying, we're jellicle cats. It's never really gotten to what that means. We kind of explore the things around it a lot, but we never really get into what jellicle cats means. We can assume jellicle cats just means like they're
special and they gather once a year.
Yeah. They gather once a year where they all pitch why they're the best. And then the, in this case, queen of the cats, old Deuteronomy, chooses the best one to go to Cat Heaven, the Heaviside Lair, and then be reborn, because cats have 9 lives.
Yeah.
It's basically like, it's a chorus line, but with cats.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
That's almost exactly right.
We go through this whole thing with various cats pitching themselves, saying, I'm the best cat because I do this. I'm the best cat because I do that. I'm the best cat because I do the other thing.
Yep.
And one by one, this is in the movie, they are teleported away and kidnapped on a boat.
Kidnapped by...
This is not something that happens in the stage show. Kidnapped by McCavity and his evil minion Growltagger?
Yeah.
Yeah? Am
Good.
I right?
Great.
This is very bizarre because these are all characters that are in Cats the musical in various capacities, but nothing like this. They've laid all this stuff into the movie.
Yeah. Different new plot, new connective tissue.
So these cats keep on pitching why they're the best and then being teleported away by McCavity until we get to like the middle part where they have kind of a cat orgy called the Jellicle Ball where they all dance. I kind of think that's what it's supposed to be. Am I crazy?
Well, I guess I never really thought of it like that.
Neither did I, but that was producer Daff.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a very horny musical.
It is a horny musical.
No, you're right about that.
Especially
right
like the pro shot version. They did it like, what was it, the West End?
In the 90s.
There's so much gyrating and spandex.
Very pelvic. Yeah.
To get through this plot, because people don't like it when we take too long on the plots on this podcast.
Okay, keep going.
We get to...
The ball.
We get to the ball, they all dance around, and
we
then...
We meet other cats through song.
We've met so many cats. We'll
it's
get
fine.
Into it in a second.
It doesn't really
matter. Till finally, old Deuteronomy, the king, queen cat, gets teleported away. And the magical cat, Mr. Mistopheles, makes her reappear.
Mm-hmm.
And then, we're all so happy that everyone has reappeared. And Mr. Mistopheles gets everyone back.
Yeah.
And then Grisabella the sad cat sings a song called Memory.
I don't
and
think
they
that's
all
her
go,
name, but I love that.
And they all go, you're the best cat. You should go to the Heaviside Lair.
Yeah.
And she flies off in a hot air balloon with McCavity hanging onto it. This is supposed to be like the tire, but it's not nearly as impressive as it is on stage.
Correct.
And then finally, Judi Dench kind of speak-sings, doesn't really sing.
You're right.
Speak-sings the final song, which is kind of this tongue-in-cheek weird song already.
Yes.
And it's just in one shot where she stares directly down the camera into your soul and kind of speak-sings for 5 friggin' minutes.
Yeah. While other cats sort of stare at her and try to keep
exactly
the scene
that.
Very
they just
alive.
Move their heads a little.
It's just really
But they
something.
Don't look like cats, they look like weird humans.
They do look
they
like
all look
humans.
So weird.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I think that's the
literally
end.
The end.
Oh, God.
And that's a lot more plot than the stage show. The stage show is literally just cats competing to go to the Heaviside Lair.
Yep.
Old Deuteronomy gets teleported away, but no one's really that worried about it.
Yep.
Then Mr. Mistopheles brings him back.
Yeah.
And everyone's pretty happy about that.
Yeah.
And then Grisabella wins and rides up on a tire. And it's great, and people cry, and it runs for 20 years. So why didn't that work on screen?
Sorry.
But that's how it goes. We have proof.
Okay. I have a lot of theories, but I don't want to get too into them now because I think they're going to reveal themselves as we go through each sort of, department's work.
Yes.
So why don't we start... Okay, well, first we should start with my Google search, which was, why did the movie Cats get made? And then what became better than the answer was how there's the other questions that people have asked, and then they have the drop-down menu of that. So some other people asked the following things. Why does the movie Cats exist? What was the point of Cats? Why did people not like Cats, the movie? And what does Jellicle mean? Look, I may not answer a single one of these tonight, but I think it would be nice to keep those questions swirling in our brains as far as what the public is going through with this movie.
I love how both the musical and the movie have a whole section where the cats go, oh my God, you don't know what a Jellicle cat is? You're a fucking moron. And then they don't explain it.
Which probably works better on stage.
What's a Jellicle cat? Are you kidding me?
Because, so that works better on stage.
Absolutely.
Because you're sitting in the audience going, I'm an idiot. I should know what a Jellicle is. And you don't want to say to the person you went with, what's a Jellicle? So you just, everyone's pretending we know what a Jellicle cat is. And when you're watching it at home, You can turn to the person next to you and say out loud, what the hell's a Jellicle? And they'll be like, I don't know. I thought you knew. I'm watching this for you because I love you. Which didn't exactly happen.
Would you like to turn on Succession or something instead? Are you done with this yet?
So we should go through the categories. Yep. So we break this down into various categories of the different people who would have worked on this. And then we just talk about our impressions of those departments' work. Yeah. So the first one we'll start with is like book, music, lyrics.
Yes. Which, so the one element that is relatively unchanged mm-hmm. between stage and screen. So let's talk book, music, and lyrics.
Yeah.
Maybe book first, because book exists only for this. There's no, barely any spoken dialogue in the mm-hmm. stage version.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few scenes in this, and they're all bad. And they sound bad, and the dialogue is bad.
Oh, I have something to tell you before we get too into this about the book.
Yeah.
Even though, so you just said not much of a book exists
for this.
That's
my understanding, at least, yeah.
No, you're exactly right. So how did it win the Tony for Best Book of a Musical? Riddle me this. We can figure this out later, but I just saw that on...
Like 81?
Yeah, whatever year that would have been. Anyway...
That's actually kind of egregious. That's wild.
Isn't it wild? So so there is no book. When we say book, we mean script, scripted dialogue. Like, that doesn't really exist in this show. It's
definitely not.
Pretty much sung through in the musical, but in the movie they've added bits here and there to make the plot they put in make sense. What do you think of it, Paul?
I think that I can see the temptation to add more plot to Cats.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a trap that they fell into.
Correct.
I think that Cats works best when it's very ambiguous, when it's literally just like friggin' chorus line. You know what I mean? It's just a bunch of cats who want to go to the Heaviside Lair, and Grisabella's the saddest cat, so she gets to go.
Sorry,
that's
now
the
I'm
story.
Picturing a mashup between Cats and a chorus line, where each cat comes forward and says, like, this is why I need to work in this chorus line. And they all have their headshots, and it's, like, super cute.
We were doing the parallels over dinner the other night, and it's really where it's, like, Old Deuteronomy, Zach, and Grisabella's Cassie.
Oh, that's
and
funny.
The Jellicle Balls.
A dancer like dances.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's iconic. Oh, I love that. Okay, so...
What about you? What is the book doing anything for you?
Nothing.
No.
It shouldn't really exist.
No, God, no.
It shouldn't. They shouldn't have tried to make it happen... Don't make fetch happen.
Yep.
This is Cats. They don't play fetch.
Yes, literally. They're cats.
Sorry, I've done too many tiny, stupid cat jokes today.
Not as many as Rebel Wilson. Jesus
oh,
Christ.
Oh, God. We'll
She's
get there.
She's so funny in this movie. Holy shit.
Okay. You're lying. You're a lying liar.
Sorry,
but no, I would say there is no need for a script. There is no need for it. I don't know what the logic behind it was to sort of add, I don't see the point of it, so zero. Sorry, I just went straight to scores.
Yeah, I would go to scores too, zero.
Zero.
But let's talk about music and lyrics.
Yes, let's.
Lyrics, pretty much entirely T.S. Eliot.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them, I've discovered recently, Frankenstein.
Right.
So like, Heaviside Layer is mentioned in one poem. It is not a plot throughout the Book of Practical Cats.
Yes.
Jellicle Cats is from one poem.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, like, overreaching.
Grisabella's not even Practical Cats. They didn't find out... I read that they didn't find out about the character of Grisabella being part of the T.S. Eliot collection until the first read-through of this musical. When T.S. Eliot's wife...
Wild.
...brought some of his unpublished poems and stories, and Grisabella was in there. And so Andrew Lloyd Webber was like, that's the cat I want to base this show on.
That's the saddest cat.
That's the sad one.
I kind of like the lyrics. I like T.S. Eliot's poetry.
Okay. It's like opium-y.
It's very opium-y. Oh, it totally is.
Because it's just
I was going to say dated, but we can say opium-y.
Yeah,
that's
no,
also
I
it.
Think that's probably more accurate.
It is very much like it's 1890 in England.
Right.
You know?
It forces you to buy in a way that works beautifully on stage.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
Yeah. And what about the music? Where does this land in your Andrew Lloyd Webber's?
Mm.
Your top is Jesus Christ Superstar?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then none of the other ones are on the list at all. But if
you're,
I had
you're much
to
less
choose,
generous to Angela Weber than I am.
I really like Love Never Dies because it's so silly. That's the sequel to Phantom, if anyone was unsure.
And that's a wild only other Andrew Lloyd Webber musical to like. That's
we'll talk
a
about
wild
that another time.
Say.
No. Cats is like maybe three. I like Evita maybe a little more.
Yeah. I could agree with that.
Yeah.
I like Evita maybe a little more too.
I think the opening number is stellar.
I think
the intrigue of the those few notes, excellent, 10 out of 10.
Maybe Andrew Lloyd Webber's best or second best, like, themes?
Yes,
like, just
okay.
Chorus for chorus, I mm-hmm. think this might be the best. I think Jesus Christ Superstar is a much better piece of musical theater, storytelling.
Sure.
But, like, I can hear, like, every song in this show. Oh, okay, here's a wild one. I can't remember if we have a similar point of reference on
okay.
this or not. The VHS, the Joseph VHS.
Right.
Where it's like Joseph, Donny Osmond is starring
Donny
in
Osmond,
it.
Donny Osmond, yeah.
And it's like kind of staged, but it's really a movie.
Yeah, it's like a studio shot version.
And they had a preview before it for the studio shot version of Cats, a very similar thing, which I also watched. But just this preview, that I've been watching this as a kid, just had the chorus belting out. Like it would go from one number to the next to doing fucking Mr. Mistopheles,
oh,
the Macavity,
yeah.
Angelical songs. And everything they did as a kid, I remember being like, that sounds incredible. That sounds so
that's
fucking
amazing.
Good. What
yeah,
is
yeah.
going on? Because they have these big soaring melodies.
Of course.
They're interesting melodies, you know?
And everything's done in, like, octaves.
Yeah.
So there you have these cats sort of screeching, like,
yeah.
really high, and then other cats kind of singing low. It's a trip.
It's
a real melodic trip. But it's I could see how that would be enticing. It's sort of like eating, like a mozzarella stick when you're a kid.
That's absolutely what it is. It was. I had my broccoli in my cabaret, and I had my turnips in my Into the Woods, and I was like, no, give me cats.
Give me mozzarella sticks.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. No, I see the appeal more now as an adult.
Okay, I'm going to do my ratings real quick.
Okay.
Book zero.
Yeah.
Lyrics, 6.5, so that's 6 with 0.5 for the opium.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
then,
okay.
Like,
yeah.
Music 7.5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know.
No, that's okay.
I'm going in with it though.
You're entitled. I zero for a book. I agree.
Okay, cheers.
I would say 6 or even 7 for lyrics.
Great.
I think they're charming and weird.
Yep.
The music, I would say like a 4.5.
Yeah, I can.
Did he
as
orchestrate
much as I rated
it
so high, I can... Sorry?
Sorry, did Andrew Lloyd Webber orchestrate it as well?
No.
Do you
Although he, from what I understand, he usually has a hand in his orchestrations. He's
right.
not a credited one. The orchestrations in this movie are so bad.
Oh,
what
in this
going
movie?
On?
Yeah, it sounds very terrible.
It sounds terrible. Like a movie's supposed to be where you had the money to hire freaking 100 musicians.
Yeah.
Or at least, like, it sounds weird and tinny.
Yes.
And... I would, you know, honestly, I would knock a point off just for that because, like, come on, let's get it together now.
Because in the stage version, I think the orchestrations are great.
Beautiful. Some of the best.
And very cool and very,
yeah.
like, 70s, 80s,
yeah.
which I like. And so I know you like.
I was really disappointed when I saw this movie.
Yeah.
And it was this, I don't mind that it's, like, more synthy than it is, like, orchestral.
Right.
But it sounds thin and tinny, kind of. And I don't go for that.
Yeah. So that's, yeah.
That's books, music, and lyrics?
That's it.
Okay.
Does anyone have...
any questions?
just like, give me a thumbs up or down if we like this music. Yes? We like. We medium.
We see some hard mediums. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I get it. Do we like the... I'm trying to think of the nicest way to say this. Do we like the performances of the original cast or of the theatrical recordings make us like it more? Like for me, it's like, yes.
Oh, yeah. No question.
And if I only saw the movie, like, would I have any feelings of like toward this music?
So I went.
Probably not.
I went back and watched the 97 stage shot after I watched the movie.
Who's in that? Is Elaine Page in
Elaine
that?
Page is in that as Grisabella.
I think that might be the one I watched in the pandemic.
Yeah, yeah. It's good. I wanted to be reminded, like, why is this good?
Mm-hmm.
But man, it's, like, watching it now, it's dated.
Yes.
Like, there's no question it's an old musical at this point.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And I think, wait, what's our next category?
Direction and choreo.
Let's get into direction and choreo, because I think this is how they try to update it.
Oh, great.
Especially the choreo, and I really want to get your take on this.
Yeah.
So the Cats choreo, here's what I noticed. I'm not a dancer. I'm not sure if you guys knew this, but there's like lots of, and it's from the choreographer of Hamilton, right?
That's right, Andy Blankenbuehler.
Whose work I love in Hamilton.
Yes, me too.
There's a lot of jumping into a squat.
Correct.
Like going from down to down.
So low to lower.
Low to lower.
Yeah.
And like a lot of, not a lot of the jazz influence.
That's right.
That's right, yeah. You're exactly right. That Cats typically has.
Correct.
So where's your head at for this? This is a drastic departure from this
choreo
then.
So further to the comparisons between A Chorus Line and Cats, they stylistically at the time when they came out, it was very much that 80s, like I guess late 70s into the early 80s style of aerobic jazz that I love and pretty much like where my choreography comes
leg
from.
Leg warmers, leotards. Absolutely.
Yes, exactly. And a little Walkman. but Andy Blankenbuehler has always been a choreographer who explored different ways of physical storytelling.
Yeah, great.
Now, the...
Fucking rat in Hamilton. It's incredible in Hamilton.
It's very excellent. And worth watching on... it's on Disney, right?
Yeah.
Disney Plus? If you haven't seen it, because from a choreographic storytelling standpoint, it's excellent. So I got really excited because he's been saddled to this movie since, like, the early days.
Great.
He was announced as choreographer, like, immediately.
And he's going to be a perfect fit. What you need in Cats is storytelling through movement.
Exactly.
That's the whole reason. You don't really need a plot.
Yes.
You need really strong movement.
Exactly. So we saw that, and we see these excellent dancers executing this challenging contemporary, I should add, because he sort of went in that direction, movement. But there's a few issues that we come up against.
Oh, yeah.
One is the CGI bodies being a sort of strange scale, and you go, okay, but like a CGI'd cat would never move like that. That's problem one.
And that's, well, here, you go through your problems then.
Yeah. And problem two is in the editing of the film. There's so many jump cuts that it's actually really difficult to even understand what you're looking at. So you can't fully appreciate, like, oh, this is a different take on Cats, because you're just trying to figure out what cat you're looking at and sort of like trying to understand spatially where you are. So those were kind of the two things I noticed about the direction slash choreo that were challenging to process.
I noted the first one especially as I was trying to think, why do I usually enjoy Cats and I'm not enjoying this?
Yeah.
I love seeing like dancers at the top of their game dancing really well to music that I like. So
yeah.
That's why Cats is usually appealing. You've got fucking sick dancers doing sick choreo and they're working their asses off.
Yes.
The way they add the CG to these performers in the movie makes it seem like their bodies have no weight.
Yes, good point.
So it's like, it's just not exciting to watch.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't actually feel like you're watching human bodies move.
Right, like where's the risk in that movement?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing I noticed about the direction that I found really unappealing was how many times characters just go straight down the barrel of the camera. Which is a bold friggin' move in a movie, I feel.
It's
something you got to use really sparingly.
Tom Hooper did that in Les Mis as well.
Oh, yeah. Didn't look at that.
And it was less troubling to me in that movie. I don't know why. But it was.
Hot take. Les Mis is a very different musical than Cats.
Eh, the same to me. But I think... the logic of like, oh, but I did it with Les Mis. That's my style when I do a musical. Yeah. Like, that's my, I don't know. I don't know what was kind of going through his mind. But
the other thing about the direction that he also did on Les Mis is he does this freaking thing where everyone's got to sing live on set.
Right.
And that in and of itself is not a bad thing. We sing live all the time. Doing it live is great. But he does it so that the pace can be dictated by action rather than music. The pace of the songs can be dictated. Once again, in theory, not a bad thing. But the best results really, I find at least, come from when the pace is being decided together between the performer and the accompanist or music director, conductor, what have you.
Right.
So there's moments like really the whole first friggin' half of Mr. Mistopheles where I'm like, this is so slow.
Yeah.
And you're just going forever and who cares? Let's go.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
This is an 80s pop song. And it's about cats. Why are you, like, don't take your time so much.
It did turn into a very sad ballad.
Like.
Mistopheles. It's very weird.
That's so bizarre for the place that song holds in the show usually.
Yes.
Right?
Totally.
Where it's usually a really fun, kind
energetic
of.
Energetic moment.
Energetic. Mr. Mistopheles. Isn't it weird as well? This is going back to the songs, I guess. Isn't it weird how he always has the cats singing about themselves?
I like it.
You like that better than, because in the musical, the cats sing about each other.
Really? I like it because I think both are great.
Yeah.
Like, you can make a case for both. Yes. I love the idea of them introducing themselves.
Yeah.
But I feel like, and this goes into maybe some of the editing, some of the other choices, that it was weird because the actors doing it are, like, famous people and were like, okay, but, like, Rebel Wilson telling me, you know what I mean?
Oh, we'll get to her. She's the worst. She's kind of what I'm basing this whole theory
James
around.
James Corden is way worse.
That's true. James Corden is the worst in this.
The worst.
James Corden's the worst.
But anyway, I think it's like in the musical, it's a bunch of more anonymous people.
It's the whole thing because they're all an ensemble. They're always telling the story together.
Yes.
Yep.
So, I think if you were to switch it and be like, we're going to start introducing ourselves in the musical. Yeah. I would be like, that's fine. Cause you're not Taylor Swift.
Yeah, fair enough.
Telling me about yourself or McCavity or whatever, you know, I don't know.
I gotcha. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do some, what are
ratings.
If you had to rate the choreo and the direction,
I would say A for effort on choreo, but it's like a 6 or 7.
Yeah.
That's not bad, though.
Mm-hmm. No, that's not bad.
Direction, like a 2 or 3?
Yeah, I would go direction a 2 or 3. I have trouble rating this choreo this high, but I think that's just because I can't actually see it. And,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
See what
don't,
it's doing.
It's okay.
You know? So I'd go 5.
Okay. I'm not offended. I didn't
yeah,
do it.
Okay.
I didn't make it.
This is our first episode in a while. We're really walking on eggshells around each other.
I know. We haven't done this in a while. Okay, great. Should we move on to, like, the design elements of this?
Yes.
So I think this is, like, we could call this maybe some of the editing stuff. We can call this some of the...
We could call this the biggest problem.
Okay, here's... Okay.
Yeah.
So...
You want to show everyone?
We need to show everyone the photos.
Great.
Okay, receipts. We have receipts here, people. So I'll just pull up very quickly an image. This is not great quality, but this here is from the musical. Okay? Are we all familiar with some of this, like, aesthetic? Like the unitards and the fur and the painted faces and
they've all got, like, arm warmers and leg warmers built into their costumes, because 80s, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, we don't want to forget. Oh, yeah, this one. Oh, this is also here. Let me see. Sorry, folks. I should have had this queued up, but I had my notes. Okay. This type of thing. This is the musical. Okay.
Yeah.
This is what we know. And then this is what Tom Hooper did to our musical. Jennifer Hudson, but a cat. Who do you have?
I've got the other two. I've got Victoria. And
oh, yeah.
Or whoever.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, here's our friend, Judi Dench. I know. What have they done to her?
So as you can see, it's really tough. It's a real shame.
She looks actually okay, though.
Yeah. Did you know she was supposed to be in the original cast?
Yes.
Yeah, right? Isn't that wild?
Did y'all know that? Judi Dench was supposed to be Jenny Anydots.
And Grisabella. It was going to be a split track.
It was going to be a split track?
That's what I read, yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
And then at the last minute, she tore her Achilles.
That's right.
And had to pull out. And then Elaine Page in for Grisabella to win the Olivier and become unstoppable for it.
Yep.
And it escapes me now, whoever went in for original Jenny Anydots.
It was the understudy, but I don't recall her name. But yeah, so she finally got her chance at the
Okay,
musical.
Let me preface this. I love Judi Dench.
I know you do. Who doesn't?
Like, could she sing back then?
I don't know. I mean, maybe, probably.
Because that's the freaking, like, no shade to her here, but man, she doesn't really sing it, you know?
I wonder. We should ask her.
Yeah. Okay. We'll ask her next time. Great. Why are leg warmers? Why are leg warmers and face paint effective?
I don't know, Paul. It's just good. It's just good.
Because it's good, right?
We just like it. Because it goes back to that thing of like, these are real people executing this thing, and isn't that impressive?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I think.
I find it very hard to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I find the faces look very alarming.
Yep.
And
the ears sort of twitch every once in a while, which totally pulls you, well, it pulled me anyway, right out of the thing.
Yeah.
True. But who made those acting choices, right? Because acting choice was not made by Jennifer Hudson going, and now is the moment where I would like my ears to twitch. Because that's superimposed.
I think
later.
Also, like, one of the big things I noticed about the movie that, and this is just a big thing between theater and film as art forms,
mm-hmm.
theater is a lot more cool with being representational. Like, you're like, ah, yes, this is a person dressed in bright colored spandex and stripes.
Yes.
We just accept that they're a cat.
Yes.
But in this movie, it feels like they're like, no, they need to literally be cats. And at that point, I'm like, then just make it animated. What are we doing?
Right.
Why are we here?
Do you think in the end that was actually one of the flaws? Was that, like, they didn't trust us enough just to, like, be cool with imagining?
The movie just feels like it's apologizing for existing the entire time you're watching
it. Good point. Yes.
And, like, I think, the makeup and the design of the cat look itself, even if the CGI people were unionized and had all the time in the world...
Yeah.
It still would have been a bad idea.
Right. Yep. Yep. Yeah. The scale we talked a little bit about.
Yeah,
like,
where the cats, sometimes they seem like they're cat-sized.
Yeah.
And sometimes they seem like they're really big cat-sized.
Correct.
And sometimes they feel like they're mouse-sized.
Yep.
It's very bizarre.
And then sometimes there are mice.
And sometimes there's actual mice. That's very confusing.
Yeah. And roaches. Oh, God.
Oh, and the roaches are bad.
Very
That's
bad.
Tough. That's...
Yeah, I think... Overall, that is probably, like, that coupled with what I imagine were a lot of Tom Hooper's decisions, I think that's where, like, the issues with this as a movie lie.
Yeah, I agree. I think the design is a big problem, is one of the biggest problems, because it kind of renders most of the cats anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
Where one of the big charms I find of cats is... We get to watch this full ensemble do the full show.
Yes.
And they're always participating in every
right.
number.
And, like, not disappearing.
Not disappearing. Yeah. We don't put all the celebrities on a boat because we only had them for, like, a week or whatever, you know?
Oh, my God. Idris Elba. Sorry, we're going
to
talk
about
him soon.
Okay, yeah, we'll get to that in a second. I think you said it correctly. The editing doesn't do the movie any favors.
Sorry, I just remembered
a
flashback. I had a flashback to, like, cat, like, feet, but, like, they were kind of more human than they were cat paws. And, like, that was really weird.
Yeah.
And, like, also cat boobs.
Yep, that's tough.
Like, I feel a little weird about them.
You know, if you're going to do that, commit. I want 8 cat boobs.
I want 8 of them.
I want realistic rows
exactly.
of nipples.
Like, put them all on there.
And then at one point, isn't Judi Dench, like, sitting in a basket or something?
Oh my God, like a cat bed.
And you see her leg go up like a cat's would to, like, scratch her ear, but it's like Judi Dench's human leg, and it's very
and
bizarre.
It's like it's a leg, and it does this, like, gorgeous développé. Okay, so this is my bottom leg, this is my top leg, and I go like this, and I extend like this, which we know full well Judi Dench is not doing.
No!
Whose leg is that?
Whose leg is that?
Anyway.
And also, why is Skimbleshanks the only one wearing pants?
Oh, there
he is. Wearing
yes.
pants.
It's just like, it's like the monkey animal crackers rules, where it's like all the other animals know they're naked now.
What about when Rebel Wilson takes off
her
outside
horrifying.
Cat fur?
Horrifying.
And underneath is more cat body, but with a cool Broadway vest on.
Yeah.
It's a great example of failing to understand why the, because that's a bit from the musical where
yes.
Jenny Annie Dots does it in, like, a fur coat, and then the fur coat is shed and she's in a smaller outfit to do, like, the tap break.
But the fur coat.
Exactly.
It's like, ha-ha.
Yeah.
That's
not very
funny.
Clearly a layer of skin.
A zippered.
It's very clearly a layer of skin.
Body.
It's
yeah,
really
it's weird.
Weird.
It's very weird. Yeah. Sorry, my rating is zero.
Yep.
Like, I just cannot.
It's hard. It's literally hard to watch. It's hard yeah. to sit down and just stare at it.
Yes.
Which I would say is a failure for a movie.
Yes. Oh, although I didn't dislike the theater set. Like,
oh, yeah.
As an idea. Like, I liked where they went for the Jellicle ball.
And that's also probably where my favorite performance takes place. So let's get into that.
Okay, you have to start now. You yeah. left us hanging. We're in the performance category. Yeah. Paul?
I like two performances in this movie. Ian McKellen and Jason yeah. Derulo.
I'm sorry, who?
And you
Jason
never
Derulo.
Thought you would hear
you.
Jason Derulo. You never thought you would hear those two names.
I know.
I
was
same
ready to not like Jason Derulo.
Sentence, but here we are.
Maybe it's because it comes right after Rebel Wilson and James Corden. But I'm like.
But it's also because he's good.
But it's also because he's actually a really good Rum Tum Tugger.
Yes. He's very good.
Okay. Do we want to start with Rebel Wilson? She's like the first.
Okay, start there.
She's horrifying. She's so bad in this. I don't mind Rebel Wilson, but she's so bad in this.
I think, yep, I agree. I think, I find her very funny.
Yep.
Like, as a person,
stuff.
As an actor, I
yeah.
think
I, do too.
I really like her. The problem is that it's just like Rebel Wilson doing Cats. Mm. Like, it's not like I'm acting like Jenny Anydots. Like, I'm just being myself in fur.
And she's not a super strong singer, which is not the worst thing in yeah. Jenny Anydots' track, but they take it from being this, like typically in the musical, it's this Andrew's Sister trio kind of
yes.
singing about Jenny Anydots, to her singing about herself. And then already Rebel Wilson's really kind of having trouble with it. It sounds like she's having trouble with it.
Yep.
And so the number starts flat and yep. then goes horrifying
uh-huh.
as she unzips her layer of skin and eats cockroaches that are CG'd kids.
Yep.
The cockroaches
they're
are CG
children.
They make it very clear. And she's just popping them like fucking popcorn.
Yep.
It's
very
wild.
Odd. Very odd. Very weird. So there's that. There's the abomination that is James Corden.
Even worse somehow. Because he's the fat cat.
Yes.
And it's played sensitively. I would say it's a sensitive portrayal.
It was very, I don't know how to. I just. Maybe I just really don't like him
no,
generally.
No, I don't like him either.
So I struggle with anything that he would give.
Yeah.
That's my issue.
And both him and Rebel Wilson have like weird ad-libs in there.
Yeah,
that are,
oh, I did
like,
not like that.
You can't have that.
Did not like that.
And then it's Jason Derulo, who I think is pretty good.
Yep. The only downside were his feet, which were human feet executing like kind of cool like hip-hop,
yep.
jazzy movement, but it was like human feet nonetheless. So that, but it's, that's not his fault.
No.
Idris Elba, who is like literally the sexiest cat
this
I've ever
this
seen.
This is tough. I like Idris Elba a
Me
lot.
Me too.
I think
a
he's
lot.
Really bad in this.
Oh, do you think he's really bad?
Do you not think he? Do you think he's okay?
I just think he's so handsome. I don't care what.
So he's one of the performers. He's one of yours. He's one of the ones you like.
I don't care what he says. So I don't care what he does. I'm like, oh, I like how low your voice is. That's what my ear is doing.
That's very funny.
And in a movie of sort of really bad performances yeah. overall, that one just is like the least yeah, offensive cool. to me.
I'll buy that.
One of the least offensive, I should say.
What about, we got Mr. Mistopheles in there. He's kind of a love interest to
very
Victoria.
Sweet,
yeah.
Very charming.
Sure.
Weird when they sort of nuzzle or they get close enough to sniff.
Yeah.
That was another convention that was kind of weird. Like if this microphone is the white cat and I'm Mr. Mistopheles, it was like, and they're people,
yeah,
and
they're
like, their noses
people.
Are close, and I'm just, I don't know, it's weird, it's weird. But I thought he was very sweet.
Yeah.
Okay,
what about our oldsters? What about Judi Dench and Ian McKellen? I already spoiled, I like Ian McKellen.
I like
Gus.
Them both.
Yeah.
I think they were like probably the only choices for those roles in that like ensemble, if
yep.
that makes sense. I do like the choice of Judi Dench in the role of Old Deuteronomy.
Yep.
I think it's very nice.
Yep.
But I wouldn't say it's anything to write home about.
Yeah. I'm good for it up until the very end there when it's
that last song or whatever.
Is that realization you don't realize it until you hear it when you're like, oh fuck, that song only works when it's like a really good singer.
Right.
Like the joke only works. You know what I mean?
True. True.
Like this whole moment where it's the premise is a big long roundabout speech where it says a cat is not a dog, and that's kind of a joke.
That's the joke.
And it's. I find it pretty, or kind of funny at least, when it's this big operatic thing where it's like,
yes.
Old Deuteronomy is typically an operatic baritone bass, mm-hmm. and he's just belting out like, a cat is not a dog, and it's very, I find it funny.
Yeah.
That conceit is all but abandoned.
Yeah.
Because Judy Dench just kind of speaks it. And it's like, well, yeah, Judy, a cat isn't a dog, we know.
And like, the Oscar goes
no, this
to.
Is it, you know what I mean?
I don't care. I don't care. She could say anything, really, to me.
Okay, what about T Swift?
I really didn't want to talk
minutes.
About it.
She's tough in this. She's not good.
While I appreciate her desire to have musical theater delivered to the masses by way of Cats the movie, I could have just done without. Well, I could have done without the song entirely, even though I actually like the song.
McCavity or the
yeah.
one that she wrote? McCavity's a good song.
And I was just kind of bored watching her version.
Yeah.
It just also shows us that she really is not a dancer.
No.
Which is okay, but this is Cats, and I think I just want. Really excellent, moving.
Yeah, I agree. And then she also wrote a song with Andrew Lloyd Webber. It's this song called Beautiful Ghosts. It's not it.
It's not it. Even no. the name, when you hear it, you're like, oh, that, I don't think that belongs in this musical.
In this musical, yeah.
Yeah. Jennifer Hudson?
I like Jennifer Hudson in this. I always forget she's in it because they do kind
yeah.
of do So Wrong by Grisabella. She
yes.
just disappears for like an hour and a half. She's at the very start, and then not again in again till the very end.
And like the way that, yeah, they split up the song, and then the way that she splits up all the words with breathing, that's weird.
Because we got to do it live. Because we got to do it live on set.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
I also love her voice, but
I think she delivers
weird.
For the big money at the end, which is like what you
of
want.
Of course.
Touch me, it's so easy to live.
But you're not supposed to breathe that whole phrase. Watch Elaine Pages if you haven't recently. Doesn't she just sing all the way through? Then takes the breath.
Yeah, because
that's
she's
incredible.
Unstoppable. And there is something to.
Yes.
I want to be very clear. I don't fault Tom Hooper for wanting to do it live.
Yes.
Yeah. And I don't fault. But I also don't fault movie stars for not being able to do it live because it's a different friggin' skill.
Yes, correct.
Like, Jennifer Hudson is not Elaine Page.
Yeah.
In that she works mostly in studios where that kind of consideration doesn't need to be had.
That's right.
And live, we consider those things a lot. And so it results in a lot of very bizarre sounding music.
Totally.
Me. Yeah.
I agree.
All right. Performances, 0 out of 10. Have we missed anyone?
Yes, the white cat. Francesca
Ooh,
Hayward,
yeah. She's the, and
very
she,
lovely.
Yeah,
I was a fan. Mm-hmm. I really liked her. I thought she was kind of like a nice person, like actor to lead us around the story.
Mm-hmm. I don't mind that.
Yeah.
That's a movie movie concession that I can really agree
yes.
with.
Yes.
Let's see this all through the eyes of this cat.
Yeah.
But you don't need to add much more than that.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. But
she's
I
a real nice dancer.
Yes, excellent dancer, yeah. which we saw because you could see her feet pointing
yep.
at the
her
end.
Human, her human
cat
feet.
Legs. okay, the last kind of thing that I'll say about the performances, because it is more of a general note, is that I feel like Cats the animal, like as an animal,
yep.
are funny, but not because they're like doing like a funny thing. That's not how animals are.
No.
They don't set out to make us laugh.
No.
They exist in the world, and then they are funny because of things that happen to them
Absolutely.
On accident.
Yep.
This movie was the exact opposite of that.
Yep.
It was like all of these cats going around purposely trying to be funny, trying to do these weird, making strange choices, and I just couldn't buy it. I just couldn't
yeah.
buy it.
That's a really good observation, Jill. I totally agree. And for me, the stage show gets it a bit more right in that regard.
Yes.
Where I'm like the characters take themselves a bit more seriously, which seems silly to say in Cats, but...
Yeah, but it's true. There's a commitment there.
You can take it seriously, and then it's goofy. It lets it be funny, because it's Cats taking themselves too seriously.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's also delightful conceit of, like, you've got... Rumpelteazer and Mungo Jerry, who are all like, we love to do crime. And then it's like, we knocked over a vase. And it's like, that was your entire crime. And it's like, when we make fun of our animals for being little criminals. And
yes.
It's like, you've done no crime.
Yep,
you've done
none.
Absolutely no crime. Like,
no crime.
Gus, his big crime is stealing socks.
Steal
but
socks from the
but it might as well be Ocean's 11 for that little guy.
Yes. I think that covers the performances. What is your rating? You said zero?
No, I didn't say zero. I'm going to do five.
Okay.
Because I think we've got a few performances that I really like and a few that I really hate.
I feel like six.
Ooh, good for you.
Like, they had to rise above some things.
Yeah,
in
absolutely.
Order to facilitate some semblance of this,
there's
this
a,
story.
And I would even say maybe there's a few performances in here that I would like more if you stripped away the CGI and actually put it on stage.
100%.
I'm like, this didn't work for me, but it might work if I just saw it on stage.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Okay, what other categories do we have? Normally we have Tonys, but we already said the Tony fact, which is that it won Best Book, even though there was no book of the musical. There's no script.
And we can't do Oscars because this was 2020 Oscar year, which didn't really exist.
That's right.
Also, surprise, it didn't get any nominations.
No. We need, who do we call? Judy. Hello, Judy. We have two questions for you.
Is it 81 or 82 Tonys?
Well,
I would do 82 Tonys. I don't know what they are, so I can do them real quick. I'll do a Tony game. Yeah.
Okay. Let me pull up.
Anyone else can yell out as well if anyone else has got early 80s Tony Awards in their heads, please feel free to yell out.
Okay, so, sorry.
you laugh, Oak. This is the place where that might be possible.
I love this. Sorry, folks. Just loading. We love Wi-Fi.
Those were 82. This is actually a weird time for Tonys, because this is the first mega musical boom. Like, this is Cats is the star of the mega musical.
So what do you recall being kind of like happening at this time?
Fuck
so
me, what else is
when Cats
movies?
Was being written, Sweeney was happening.
Yep, Sweeney's happening. Chorus Line is the biggest musical on Broadway.
Is George out yet, or is that later still?
No, George is in the mid-80s, I thought.
Oh, that's mid, okay.
So what else happens in the late 70s in musical theater?
83,
okay.
Okay, so 1983.
Les Mis is about to happen?
Okay, so we have 37th Tony Awards, June 5th, 1983.
Hosted by,
oh, this is a weird trio. You will never get it.
No, who is it?
Richard Burton, Lena Horne, and Jack Lemmon.
Wild.
What a
talk about a different
group.
Era. Listen to that. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I know no other Best Musical noms,
wow.
I don't know if you would either.
I probably won't if you don't.
Okay, one is about a wizard.
The Wiz?
No, Merlin. Right?
I do know
that's
Merlin.
Like a, that's
Merlin,
like a wizard
which
one.
was like a vanity project for this. What's his name now? He was a magician who was really popular in the 70s and 80s.
Oh.
David Copperfield?
What's his name? Yes! Doug, what's his last name?
Hemming.
Doug Henning. Hemming? Something
Henning.
Like that. Yeah. He's dreadful. He can't sing. He can't act. You can find the Tony Award performance. It's kind of funny.
Oh, wait. Ryan showed me.
Oh, yeah.
This.
You've definitely seen it.
No,
so
exactly
that's Merlin.
Right.
Yeah. But he was like an actual magician. So he's doing all like close-up magic on stage as Merlin.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Then the other two are Blues in the Night.
Never heard of that.
And My One and Only. I've not heard of these. Have you?
I think there's a song I know from My One and Only. Like, I've seen it in like a... From My One and Only.
I understand.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
But
in like a... Yeah. Okay, so then it says Best Book of a Musical won by T.S. Eliot for Cats.
They gave it to T.S. Eliot.
Posthumously.
That's wild.
Okay.
I'm not sure I buy that.
Okay, but when you look at the other nominees, so we had Betty Comden and Adolph Green for A Doll's Life.
For A Doll's Life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Richard Levinson and William Link for Merlin, and then Peter Stone and Timothy S. Mayer for My One and Only. So it's kind of like, well, maybe let's give it to the one that doesn't have any script.
It's such a fascinating time in musical theater history because everything
Very
is about
weird.
To change.
Yes.
Like, Cats is the first of these four enormous mega musicals in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Cats, Phantom, Saigon, Les Mis.
Yep.
That just, all of a sudden, musicals are not, like, a niche thing. They are, like, literally, like, big fucking business.
Yes.
This causes, like, the Toronto explosion. This causes Broadway
and
West End to get. And, like, up till, like, and these Tonys show it. Broadway's kind of in trouble.
Yes.
Like, brilliant things are not being written. Other than you've got this one, you've got Sondheim, who's the great hope.
Yes.
But, like...
But people still don't have a lot of, like, trust and faith, maybe,
yeah.
that he'll continue to produce excellent work.
It's very fascinating to look, like, just before, really, everything changes.
Yes.
And it's never really the same. Like, and was it up to that point,
yeah.
Chorus Line crossed, like, 700, and that was the longest-running show on Broadway,
mm-hmm.
ever?
Which is kind of wild,
what's
because
the record
now
we're
like,
2,000? Something like that?
Isn't it, like, what's Chicago at?
Like 3,000, 4,000? It's got to be, right?
It's got to be
if
more.
You're running for like 30 years.
It's got to be more. But it's wild. It's like thousands and thousands of performances now.
And that really, that kind of relationship with musical theater didn't exist until the 80s.
Yeah.
Which I think is so interesting.
The mega musical.
The mega musical.
Oh,
Cameron McIntosh.
So that was that year. So it kind of makes sense why, why they were just sort of winning everything.
Like, would Cats have been a real breath of fresh air? Like, do you see it as someone who's in the community and be like, holy fuck, they did it.
Someone going, oh, finally.
Finally! That's what I'm saying!
They're watching Cats and they're, oh,
thank
God
someone finally did it.
somebody went there. But I guess it's like where no man has gone before, right? Right,
it's
by that
so
logic.
So soon after Chorus Line.
I don't
and
know.
It's the same thing.
It is the same. Well, if you really, really think about
if you
it,
really
it is. But I would bet you that Debbie from Idaho is not really thinking about it. You know
I would
mean?
Bet so. I would bet so, too.
Okay, let me see. I might have had a few additional
yeah, do
fun
have any,
facts
let's
to
play,
close
let's
this
play,
out.
Let's back clean up here.
Let
what
me see if I have fun facts. Okay, we covered Practical Cats.
Yep.
We covered the best book. Judy was supposed to be... Oh, okay. The last fact... which is kind of a nice way to start winding down, is that Andrew Lloyd Webber disowned this film completely. And he said that it was what convinced him to get a therapy dog. Which I think is wonderful.
The actual best part of that story is that he was trying to take that dog on a plane. And they were like, okay, well, what? Why do you need this dog?
Like where's the paperwork or whatever?
Or like standard service animal, like skepticism of like, hey, why do you need this? And they were like, have you seen Cats?
They had to explain.
And they said, very good, sir. Sir
Lloyd
Webber, please carry on.
It's so good.
Oh, please.
Henning.
Yeah, yes, totally.
No.
Is that true? That's wild. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Where?
He was Merlin.
He was Merlin. Oh, my God.
That's real. Tony performs is really great. Like, he can't really keep in time with the orchestra.
Oh, that's
so it's
amazing.
Just all over the place.
Next.
We'll, like, we'll post it on social media.
Good idea.
Okay. Final thoughts on Cats.
Okay, well, let's ask this question, and we can all vote.
Great.
Should Cats be a movie? Okay, should Cats be specifically this kind of movie?
A Hollywood motion picture. Thumbs up.
So, thumbs up or thumbs down? 3, 2, 1. Yeah. Okay.
I'm
great.
To agree, y'all. That was a big thumbs down for those of you at home.
I love a live capture.
Yeah.
They
made it in 97.
That's right. Yeah. I like the ability to watch back. I love that we have Come From Away, that style
Hamilton
of
that
performance. I love we have Hamilton.
A lot of things that way these days, frankly.
Yes, true.
It's a beautiful thing. For those of us who do not have hundreds of thousands of dollars to fly to New York and see a bunch of shows every
and see Diana time. And spend our money watching Diana, the musical. but truly, like, I don't see the point in having it be this type of motion picture. That's my feeling.
For something that is so unique to the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, something where it's like, hey, y'all, you got really lucky that this works so well.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just like cash out and be happy you got
yes.
so lucky, you know?
That's right. Like, let's just leave it at that.
Like, you somehow actually nailed it, even though it's a wild thing.
Yeah.
Don't try to replicate it, dear God.
Like, Andrew Lloyd Webber has, what, a dollar less than God now?
Well, this is it, you know what I mean?
So you're like, did you really need to go there? But
no.
Alas, here we are. And now we get to do this podcast about it. So thanks, Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Should cats receive a modern update, or does it exist like Oklahoma or South Pacific, or even Chorus Line now?
Oh, I think...
Where the way it is done is part of the canon, you know?
Ooh. Yes. Although I did read that Steven Spielberg's studio was supposed to do a movie of this, and they were going to set it in, like, World War II London or something.
But they were also going to animate it. It was
going
to
be
animated. Which I think potentially works. I think if anything's going to work, if there's any way a movie like this works, it's actually animated and it's actual friggin' cats.
So it's Aristocats.
Like it's basically Aristocats.
It's Aristocats.
Where everybody
okay,
wants to be a cat.
Everybody
wants
to
be a cat is basically the Jello Ball.
Now that's a movie I want to see. Yeah, no, I love what it is now. I appreciate what it is. I don't know that it needs to undergo really any changes. I think we can just appreciate it for what it is, like as sort of part of that like time capsule of those 80s musicals.
Because like I keep coming back to Chorus Line, but that's because there are a few similarities besides just the plot.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you did a Chorus Line without the leotards and the leg warmers,
yeah,
no one's interested in that.
Yeah, probably not. Right? And if they don't all come out in gold at the end, you're
right?
Sort of like, what are we doing here?
And like, I think the same thing applies to cats.
Right.
If I'm seeing cats, I want the leotards.
Yeah.
I want the tails around the waist.
And I want human bodies.
And I want human bodies doing jazz dance.
Doing jazz. Doing aerobic jazz. You're very good at this.
Right?
For someone who doesn't believe themselves to be
a dancer. I just watched
some
of the clip from the 97 this morning. There's this.
Yeah, it's like,
put your hands
very
out
pelvic.
And shake your butt.
Oh, yeah, no, but it was a foot
totally.
Thing. Anyway, I love it. Yeah, no, I think I'm good with just the musical as it exists. I don't know we need to revamp it at all.
Yeah. Do we have any final categories here, or does that cover it?
That is it, I think. Is that it, Producer Daphne? Flop Bop, Make It Stop? Should
Flop
we do
Bop,
that?
Make It Stop.
Okay.
The movie is Make It Stop. Please Make It Stop.
It was,
for a long time, it was the last movie I ever saw in a movie theater. And then I had to watch it again for this podcast, and I'm never going to watch it again in my life. It's dreadful.
Yep. I have a child now. And so every moment alone is precious. And the fact that I spent 2 hours of that alone time watching Cats,
you said this to me.
Like, it just pains me so greatly.
You came to me and you said, what a waste of time.
What a waste of time. And I didn't used to feel that way about anything. And now that I have no time, I realize every moment is precious. So the fact, that I spent 2 hours. And then I said to you, what if I would have had to get a babysitter? Like, what if I would have had to go see that in theaters and I had to pay for a babysitter so that I could go watch Tom Hooper's shitty version of Cats?
On that note, of how hard it is for you to watch bad musicals now that you have a kid, is now a good time to announce that we're going to do another season of Monkeys and Playbills?
Yeah, we're going to do it.
Now that we took a year off for a couple of important life events.
Mm-hmm.
Jill was having a kid. Producer Daph and I were throwing a big wedding party.
Yeah.
We got married, baby.
And now all that's kind of settled down. So I think we're going to do another season.
And we are now accepting recommendations for shows that we should talk about,
well,
both in like the live format as well as in our podcast.
Typical format.
Yeah.
Please do engage with us on social media. That's,
mm-hmm.
We like that a lot. If you have suggestions, please send them by a public social media post so that everyone is engaged and everyone likes it. Do we know what we're going to cover next?
No, but on the count of three, everybody shout their favorite cat. I'm just kidding.
I like
please
Bumble
don't.
Jerry.
I like, Rumpelteazer's my favorite. No, please don't. But thank you all for coming. Thank you so much. It's great to talk about this, to sort of get this off of our shoulders, and now we can shake it.
Please be sure we have one more day of Inhibition Exhibition tomorrow.
Yes.
Tomorrow afternoon, right up here, we've got a reading of a really fascinating piece called How They'll Tell It. Please come see that. And we have one more performance of our student showcase, Untethered, which if you haven't seen it yet, it's really something special. It's really something outstanding. I think everyone in the room has seen it, but like for the listeners at home,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to hear this until after this is all closed, but like, too bad you didn't
yes.
see it. Come next year.
There is one more thing that you and I should talk about.
Oh, yeah,
because there's something very special that's happening in, what, a month, 2 months, that we get to...
Oh, yeah, we should promote
Paul
that.
Paul and
yeah.
I get to work on a show together
yep.
that... we have actually talked about on this podcast.
And it's a show we both really like. And it's really exciting.
We are both going to be, I'm going to be performing, and Paul's going to be playing
be part of the orchestra
all the things yeah. for Merrily We Roll Along.
At the end of May.
Yeah, with Dry Cold Productions. So we're super excited, and we're going to make everybody in the city love this musical the way we do.
One person at a time.
One person at a time. So come on out.
Be sure to come see that. There's plenty of cool musical
yes.
theater happening in Winnipeg now, y'all. It's a good time to be a fan of musical theater in Winnipeg. Looking forward to seeing you all at the next Vic event.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, cheers.
Hi, everyone. This is producer Daphne speaking. Thank you all so much for listening to Monkeys and Playbills, the show where we take a look at Broadway musicals that had 100 performances or fewer before closing. To learn more about the show, you can follow us on Instagram at monkeysandplaybillspod or email us at monkeysandplaybillspod@gmail.com. You can also support us on Patreon at patreon.com/monkeysandplaybills. Monkeys and Playbills is proud to be a Village Conservatory for Music Theatre podcast. Original music for the show is provided by Paul DeGers, and the show is produced and edited by Daphne Finlayson. To learn more about the other podcasts in the Village Conservatory family, you can visit villageconservatory.com, or if you're on Apple Podcasts, visit the Village Conservatory channel in the app.